going to be down verse 18, 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. Had to run back at the last minute since I'm all out of sorts, you know, and things a little bit different. I didn't have to give Eileen my notes, and I didn't know how many more verses the ladies had, but I ran back there and we got it done. Amen. 2 Corinthians chapter 3, verse 18. The Bible says, "But we all with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord." Heavenly Father, again, thanking you for all that's been done. And again, just pray for your presence, your power, Lord, as your word goes forth. I pray you speak to each heart that's here. You know every need. You know every heart. And we'll thank you in advance for what you're going to do today. In Jesus' name, I pray. Transforming Power, the title of the message today, whenever Eileen will get there with you on that. Transforming Power. It's a short verse. Got a lot of spiritual truth in it, though. Now, I'll give you a little background on why Paul said what he said. He was speaking to Hebrew Christians who had been saved by grace. They had trusted the Lord, but they had come under the influence of some other teachers that were Jews as well, Jewish teachers, and they fell under what's called Judaism. Judaizers, and they were mixing law and grace. In other words, their main thought was roughly this, that you're saved by faith, but then plus keeping the law. That, you know, there was something that you had to add to it. Or saved by faith in Christ, but transformed by the law. We see it today. It still exists today in areas, and we call it legalism today in a sense. Now listen. You know, obedience, being obedient, the law has always been good. And being obedient, the Bible teaches us that, about being obedient. We should be obedient, but it's not an addition to saving grace. I mean, it's a product of it. 1 John 2:4 says, "He that saith, I know him, and keepeth not his commandments, is a liar, and the truth is not in him." Now, buddy, that's a pretty heavy obedient verse, right? "He that saith, I know him," that I'm saved, that I know him, and "keepeth not his commandments, is a liar." Now, you're not saved because you keep his commandments, but saving faith produces obedience because the Holy Spirit of God is living in our life, and the Holy Spirit of God is leading our life, and that leads to, which way does he lead us? I told the Sunday school class, I'm working on an outline, or I've got the thought in my head, and I've thought about it a lot, about I want to talk about the two natures. We got an old nature. That old nature, that's all you got before you're saved, but once you get saved, you got a new nature, and I want to ask you this, is that new nature got any sin in it? No, it don't have. I want to preach on that when I get it together. Be a few weeks. I got something else in my mind for next week that I feel like God wants me to preach. But see, so we see obedience is fine, but the difference is in the motive or the motivation. The whole superiority of the New Testament versus the Old Testament, which was the New Covenant versus the Old Covenant, was that the Old was like this. This was a thought that we do to become. You know, we do things to become holy, or we do things to become saved. And the new covenant was that we become to do. Huh? We become saved and transformed and filled to, we become to do, and then we do out of that. And it's a whole different thing. And so that mindset prevails even today in the Christian church today, even in the mindset of the world. This might be you. And I remember when I was a kid, when I came along, I mean, I always believed in God and believed in heaven, and I've probably shared this with you before, but I was like thinking like this, and I know a lot of people think this way that I've run into that aren't saved or don't know the truth. Maybe even they are, or they're in church somewhere, but they don't know the truth. I was thinking like, you know, we're all on our way to heaven. We're born, and we're on our way to heaven, and if we did so many bad things that we'd end up going to hell. Now, I didn't have a clue as to how many bad things those were, and I was always hoping that I wasn't in that group, that they were getting too heavy. You know, like if the good outweighed the bad, you go to heaven and the other way around. Well, I found out about myself as I got older and grew along the way, and I was probably raised right, and I had good parents, but somewhere along the way I slipped off track. And guess what? The good wasn't, if we had the scales, see, the bad over here, the bad was outweighing the good every day, all day, you know. And so, I didn't know how many bad things. I thought if you did some big bad thing, you know, like when I was a kid, I thought, well, if you killed somebody, I mean murder, it was over. Yeah, you're going to hell. You know, that was it. You murder. I used to think, listen, and this probably helped me in life, but I used to think that if you took the Lord's name in vain, if you said God and you had a cuss word on the end of it, you're done, man. You're toast. You're on your way to hell. I thought that. And in my lost life, when I got older, when I said a whole lot of things I shouldn't have said, I never took the Lord's name in vain. I just didn't. I mean, even though I knew that probably wasn't true, I guess I was trained not to do it. Now, I said everything else you shouldn't say. Obviously, you can't illustrate. But I just thought that. I thought, well, you know, this is it. I thought so many bad things. But then what happens is, after I got saved, see what happens? We get saved, and our mindset, we have a hard time getting that out of our head. We get, you know, we have that. And because I was reading these verses. Man, I didn't know about the Christ life. I was reading these verses. Well, we got to do this. We ought to do that. We ought to quit doing that. Most of us probably knew we ought to quit doing stuff we were doing before we ever got saved, right? We kind of had an idea about that, right? And so I thought, well, I have to do good to become what God wants me to be. In other words, if I'm going to be holy, I've got to really do good. I've got to quit a lot of things. Boy, what a struggle that was. And I'm going to tell you, like I said, doing good things is not a bad thing. But what happens when you find out you're not doing too good at being good? What happens? I'll tell you what happens when you're in church. You start doubting whether you're saved. Now, it could be. You know, obviously, like, you know, how do you know what a duck looks like? We know what a duck looks like. How do you know what a lost person? We know. We were one, right? We know. So, I mean, I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but guess what? What about if you fail one time? What about if you fail? See, because what happens in Christianity, it's not saying that you never fail, but it's the lifestyle, man. I mean, that's a habitual thing. What's the habit? I mean, you know, what's the habit that you have in life? Practicing sin. Living in sin, man. I mean, you know, you got to question that. But I mean, having a moment of failure because the flesh is weak. There's a difference when all that happens. And so, and I've seen over and over, and you might be in this category too. And I've probably said this too, but you know, I've seen in being pastor in a long time and being in church even longer than that, being saved and even feeling this way myself. That I, you know, you get people that feel distance from God. They feel like they're not spiritually where they ought to be. Might be somebody sitting here right now and says, you know what, I just don't feel where I could be spiritually. Well, truth be known, probably none of us are where we could be spiritually, but maybe you feel farther back than maybe you had at one other time in your life. Maybe there was a time in your life you felt closer to God. And a lot of people get like that, and what they'll do is they say, man, you know, I've got to get involved in something, man. I've got to get in a ministry, and then I'll feel better. You know, I'll feel better about myself. Something with human nature does make us feel better about that. We feel like we're doing something. Right? I'm going to do something for God. Man, I'm going to, you know, it could be anything. You know, I could be, you know, I say, hey, I'm going to mow the grass. Hey, I'm going to paint. I'm going to teach a class. I'm going to sing a song. I mean, it could be anything. I'm going to get in the choir, whatever it may be. You just think, I'm going to do something. And what happens is a lot of times you go in there and it's a real struggle, man, because it's not, you're doing it in your own strength and not God's strength. And what happens in some of those things, they fizzle out. It doesn't work. They find out, guess what? Matter of fact, I might even feel worse than I felt. Because I'm trying to do something for God, but I know I'm just not what I ought to be, and I feel even worse now because I feel like a hypocrite. You know, I feel like a hypocrite, and so it might even hurt you. So you're trying to rid yourself of a feeling which it's all backwards. See, once you're trying to do something to become something instead of becoming something. A surrendered soul. I mean, when you surrender to Christ and say, hey, I'm just waving the white flag and I'm giving it up. You know what? I'm going to quit. God, I'm just going to, you just point me in the right direction. I'm going that way. I'm not going to ask any questions. That's where you get in trouble. Why, God? Why? Start asking questions. I'm going to go the way God wants me to go. And buddy, when you surrender, man, and guess what? The things, the doing part comes out naturally. It's just, you know, it's just God opens doors and you fall into that and all that. But in our text, we'll see this. It's what I'm going to end up talking to you about. We're changed, we're transformed in what our text says. But with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed. We're changed by beholding Him. We behold Him. And I really want to talk to you about that and beholding the glory of God. Isaiah 45:22 said, "Look unto me and live, and be ye saved, all the ends of the earth, for I am God, and there is none else." There's no other place to look. So I just got a few points for you this morning that go along this line right here, what I want to talk about. Number one, outward observation. Outward observation, that's the first point. I didn't get it alliterated today, sorry about that, but I just had to get it where it would help us some. He says, "But we all, with open face, beholding as in a glass," that word glass there, be like a mirror would be a word, "the glory of the Lord are changed." We all are changed beholding the glory of the Lord. And so, you know, a lot of people fail because we start to get introspective instead of having observation, you know, looking out. And we look within ourselves and we say, wow, well, we can look within ourselves and what do we see? We see the failure. You know, we know our inner self. We know our mind. You know things about you you don't want me to know, and I know things about me I don't want you to know either. I'll just tell you that that's just the way it is. We look within ourselves and, boy, we see the problems. We don't see the answers. And we look for the answers within ourselves, but what do we really see is the problem. There's a well-known NFL quarterback that, if you keep up with football, you'll know who I'm talking about, but there's a well-known NFL quarterback. He goes and he goes and sits in a dark room, in the dark, for days sometimes, trying to, looking for the answers, I guess, to his problems, or looking for direction in life. See, that doesn't even make sense. I'm going to sit in the dark and look for direction. Well, where can you look? The only where you look within, he's looking within himself. He's looking within himself for the answers. That's why he can't make up his mind whether he wants to keep playing football or not. Huh? Because he's not getting an answer, right? And so this is the world's problem, though, and the reason I use that for an illustration, this is the world problem in a nutshell. The world is sitting in the dark looking for the answers to life and a lot of other deep things by looking within itself or looking within their self for the answer. It's not there. All we see when we look within ourselves is the problem, because we are the problem. We are our biggest problem. Don't blame the devil for everything. Don't blame him for everything, probably not even half of everything. Just blame yourself. It's ourself. That's it. And so, it says to behold him as in a glass, a mirror. The Bible even talks about this itself. This is the mirror right here. You look in the Word of God. I don't know about you, but I can't read mine in the dark. Huh? We look in the Word of God. Jesus is light. The Bible says the opposite. Jesus is light. I got a message coming up on this. It's light. He's light. And we get the answers in the light, and he calls us to behold him, to behold the light. And when this mirror right here, this mirror right here does two things. It shows us ourself. How many of you have given up looking in the mirror? Huh? I look enough to see if every little hair is in place, but I mean, you know, huh? Now, man, I'm telling you what, sometimes I'll come in, sometimes I've been out hunting, I hadn't combed my hair, none got my hat on, didn't shave that morning, and I'll see my reflection in that back door of the garage, and I look at that guy, and I say, good night. What happened? Huh? I mean, you know, in here, looking from the inside out, I look a lot different than from the outside looking in. I see what y'all's problem, I see your struggle, folks, I see what you got to stare at. I'm with you, man. I mean, I know what y'all can say it together. Let's say it together. Good night. Let's go. Good night. Yeah, that's it, man. I mean, good grief. This is it. We you know what happened? But it shows us ourselves. But it also shows us Christ, and that's the answer to ourselves. That's the answer right there. We see that. We have this outward observation. Jesus said, "Search the Scriptures, for they are they which testify of me." The Word of God right here. Amen. This is what's going to transform us. I'll show you in a minute. Listen, the Jews of that day, a lot of the Jews of that day saw Jesus face in person, but they missed his glory. And it's different reasons, and it's the same today. Because of prejudice, because of hatred, because of pride, and even their own will. And we all struggle with the same thing in some way or another, some form or another. They didn't want to see. It's amazing how if you're not looking for something, you can't find it. You ever notice that? Now, sometimes you do, but they didn't see it because they weren't looking. It's the same thing. So we see there's outward observation, and it tells us, he said there, that with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed unto the same image. Changed. The second point, internal transformation. Changed into the same image. Now, here's the one thing. God wants to change us because he knows we need it. Right? And really, you know, and I thought about this, and I believe this. Nobody is really totally satisfied with themselves. Now, I know some pretty conceited people. I'm not talking about anybody around here I know, but braggart people, man. I knew a guy. He might have been. They might have been. Maybe not, but not way down inside. Not when you really get to the psychology of it. Nobody's really satisfied with themselves because we know ourselves. And a lot that goes on in the world. I know we have cultural changes and fashions and stuff. But, man, I mean, you know, we see it in culture today, man. Do multicolored hair and million used to be, you know, pierced ear. I don't have a problem with a pierced ear. But then you see somebody ain't satisfied with that and they got them all the way up to the top, all the way around. Somebody's probably going, oh, my gosh, I'm coming. And then we got to get some tattoos all over. Let me tell you something, ladies. Let me just share this with you. I'm a man, right? I've been looking at women all my life. You know, look at them differently now than I used to, but I'm just saying. I've never seen a woman in my life that looked better with a tattoo than without it. Amen. Never, not one time. Amen. Not one time. It never adds a single thing to your beauty. Now you all are covering up your tattoos. Or you're thinking about it. But I'm just sharing this with you from a man. I've seen some beautiful women that made themselves look worse by having tattoos. It just took away from their beauty. It's not helping you a bit. That's the fashion statement of the day. I'm not saying you're going to hell if you got a tattoo. I have a tattoo. Shame to say it. But I was smart enough when I got it, put it where you can't see it unless I want you to see it. It's a big S on my chest like the Superman. No, I'm just kidding. No, yeah, save. Hey, there you go. Yeah. No, I mean, I've just never seen. But why do people do that to themselves? And then you see these ones, they want to make themselves look like a reptile. I know ain't none of y'all got this. They put little bumps on their head, and then they get their teeth. Man, listen, you ain't messing with a file on my teeth. I'm going to tell you that right now. File their teeth down to points, and they want to look like a lizard or something. I mean, man alive. Why? But you know what it is? The psychology is that people are not satisfied. They're not satisfied with their self. And I guess God uses that in a way to get us to turn to him to become. But see, if you're just looking at all this outward stuff, you'll never be so totally satisfied. So God knows that we need transformation, and we know that we do too. We really know it if we'll admit it or not. But God doesn't want a mere external imitation or transformation. He wants internal transformation. He wants it to go from the inside out. That's why I don't like the term reflect in Jesus. I like the term showing forth Jesus. If he's reflecting him, he's on the outside. But if he's on the inside, it shines forth, right? I like that. Moses' face was transformed when he spent 40 days and 40 nights on Mount Sinai talking to God. He didn't even know it. He walked down his outward appearance. Now, I'm sure he was changed internally from the inside out. His face shone. As a matter of fact, everybody, he didn't even know it. He got down there and they looked at him, man. He put a veil on his face because his face shone. He was transformed. But God wants the transformation to be, and he goes on to say there, from the glory of the Lord are changed into the same image from glory to glory. That means a continuing transformation. I got a point about that. How? By beholding. It's not by working. It's not by doing things, although God's not against doing things. He even calls us to do things. He even empowers us to do things. But he said we are trained, we are with open face, beholding as in a glass the glory of the Lord, are changed into the same image from glory to glory, even as by the Spirit of the Lord. You keep beholding God and you're going to be changed. You are going to be changed. How do we behold God? Well, the Word of God. Amen. Give you the 30-day test. People got all these steps. 30-day test. Take the Word of God. I'm telling you what, read 4 chapters every day. If you got to do 2 in the morning, 2 at night, read them every day for 30 days and see if there's something about your thought life, something in your life, it'll change. This is the Word of God. It's the living Word. It's a powerful Word. It'll change your life. It'll change it. I read it now more than I used to, even as a pastor. I pastored for years and didn't read it half as much as I do now. It probably showed. Might say it's still showing. What are you talking about? Better read 8 chapters. Anyway. But looking at the Word of God, meditating, dwelling every day in the Word of God, and I'm talking about real prayer. I'm going to say something about that tonight, where you sit down and you take a deep breath and you realize and prepare for whose presence you're going to be in when you pray. That's real prayer. When you get ready to pray, I'm going to talk about that tonight. Not wrestling with God, all night wrestling match. Not laboring, but a concentrated gaze when you gaze. And that means a confident relying on the Holy Spirit to affect the change we know it's going to take place. Listen, this is the law of life. We become like those we constantly gaze upon. Fashion trends. I remember this when it was a little pocket. Remember that? I think this still exists somewhere in some while, but back in the 80s, remember that gothic trend? You know what I'm, you know, some of them say, yeah, how many of you was doing that in goth? Go ahead and face up. Huh? You wear all black. Everybody wore black. Girls, guys, didn't matter. Black pants, black shirt, black lipstick, black fingernail polish, real white looking face. I mean, you know, phosphorescent white. And but you ever notice not everybody did it, but the ones that did was all in the same little group. I used to do a lot of work at colleges in Washington, D.C. You go to George Washington, Howard, you go to, well, Howard, they probably didn't dress that way, but George Washington University, other place. And you'd go, and there where they would be. They'd be all huddled up together. You were one of them, wasn't you? they were huddled up together. Why? Because that's who you hung out with. And what happened? You start doing like how many of us did what our friends did. We got the same hairstyles. We got the same, talked the same way, said the same thing. We got, because that's what we looked at all day long. He said we're transformed, but you gaze at whatever you look at, whatever you pay a lot of attention to, it's gonna have an influence on our character. Because our eye, what we see with our eye it's the most impact. We're living in the video world. We're in the video age now. You can teach somebody. That's why we use illustrations. If you teach kids or even adults, if I got something, that's why I brought the nail out. When I was talking about that, boy, that gives you a real visual, right? That sticks in your mind better than me just saying, well, it was a big nail about that long. When I show you that, you'll have a picture of that for the rest of your life. You'll know what that nail looked like. It has an impact, man. So we live in a video age. So what we see, what we look at, what we gaze at, we become like that. It influences our life all the way around and our character as well. We learn more by what we see than any other way. And that's the reason that television, movies, advertising, you know, a lot of us that are older, we can probably remember commercials way back in the day that we haven't seen in 100 years. Huh? We learn a lot by what we see. We learn a lot by what we hear as well. There's a commercial on a radio station I listen to. They say this. How many of us remember lines and verses and whole songs? We didn't set out to learn them, but we just heard them over and over again over the years. Some of them even know the dance moves to the Supremes because they saw them for years and years, right? I had a lesson today. I'm just saying. But they weren't setting out to learn that. It just got in your mind. This is what happens, and that's why it's effective. Robert Murray McShane said, "A glance of faith may save, but it's the gaze of faith which sanctifies." We're transformed by gazing. And then everyone, then without us, the transformation will radiate outward to others like it did Moses. Unbelieving men can only know Christ by what they see in us. They have to see it in us, the transformation. The third thing, it's a progressive experience. The Greek structure of the sentence where the word are is carries with it the idea of progression. We are being changed, and it says right there, from glory to glory. That means an ever-increasing glory. God never intended for the Christian life to be stagnant. Amen. In other words, you know, you got under conviction, you got saved, you came down to an old altar and you got saved, and then that was it. Boom, I'm saved. Nothing else. No, God never intended that to happen. We start to become transformed by the more that we learn by knowledge. You know, I got another thing I'm working on, conscience, about your conscience. And your conscience means to know. A conscience has knowledge affects that. And that's where the word comes from. But God never intended us to be static or stagnant. You know, it's always intended to be a growth. It's never ending. Like we never get totally until we die and go to heaven or the Lord comes back. It's always growing. Endless growth into the likeness of Christ. A daily transforming. This is what happens. When we get in the Word, you get in the Word daily. Try it, man. Test. This is a test you can do at home. Remember them old homework experiments the teacher gave? Go home, read the Word of God. Read it, I mean concentrate, get quiet, read a couple chapters every day. If you can read a couple in the morning, a couple at night, and see it in 30 days. See if you don't see. I mean, according to the Word of God, it'll work. I mean, if you're really looking at it to see what God can glean, what you can glean from that, what God has for you, it'll work. And so that's what God desired for us. The Bible tells us that we're transformed by the renewing of our minds. Romans chapter 12, verse 1. Transformed by the renewing of our minds. Well, what goes in the eye gate gets into the mind gate, the heart gate. You keep putting the Word of God in your mind. Guess what? By the renewing of your mind, you start thinking differently. When you start thinking differently, you start acting differently. Huh? This is what happens. See, we're not acting differently and doing differently to be transformed. We're being transformed. We're becoming to do. See, that's what it is. Now, it's the last point. It's the Spirit's work. The Holy Spirit says, the very last part of the verse is, from glory to glory as by the Spirit of the Lord. It's amazing. The original Greek text says, even as by the Lord the Spirit. That's how it reads in the Greek. The Lord, the Spirit. What's that tell us? It shows us the Trinity all wrapped up in one right there. It tells us that God, that Christ will and the Holy Spirit, that Him and the Holy Spirit are on the same page for our will, our desire, a triune God. It shows us that. So we ask the question, well, it's the Spirit's work. Well, do we have any responsibility in that? Yeah. Beholding. That's it. That's why it says beholding. It didn't say, hey, I'm going to make you behold. I'm telling you to behold. That's what God said. He doesn't make us do it. Our responsibility is just beholding Him. Now, is there any work to do? No. How hard is it to look at something? We're looking at something every day, right? We're looking anyway. I mean, we just naturally do it. So we look at God. We look at the Word of God. We look at what God's doing. We look at the majesty of outdoors, and we can see God there. The work of the risen Lord and the work of the Spirit are one and the same. It involves our activity, beholding, looking. Not just daydreaming about Christ, but beholding His glory as revealed in His Word, what the Word of God says. Looking expectantly. I say this all the time. How many of us come to church expecting something to happen? Expecting God to make a move. Well, I ain't expecting nothing. Well, guess what's going to happen? Nothing. Right? Expectingly. Expecting to be changed. Wanting to be changed. Wanting to be changed. The transforming work, it goes on our entire life. In accomplishing this work, there's a negative and a positive ministry. You know, negatively, what happens? The Holy Spirit of God reveals in our life things in our character that are unlike Christ, and we need to go. The Bible calls it putting off the old man. See, putting off, it just doesn't, you know, there's a responsibility there for a Christian. Now, God empowers us to do it. He enables us to do it. He gives us the inclination. He gives us the desire, but we have to put it off. You know, and this is where the fight usually takes place because the flesh doesn't want to put off. So what do we struggle with? We struggle with putting off more than putting on. And we've got commands, though. Colossians 3, 8 and 9, put off anger, wrath, malice, blasphemy, filthy communication out of your mouth. The Bible tells us to put that off. How hard is it to keep your mouth shut? Pretty hard, right? How hard is it to keep our mouths? It's pretty hard. Paul said, if ye through the Spirit, it's Romans 8:13, if ye through the Spirit do mortify the deeds of the body, ye shall live. If ye through the Spirit, ye through the Spirit. See, there's a cooperation there. It's not talking about salvation, it's talking about sanctification. And then positively, the Holy Spirit reveals the graces, the blessings which should come, which could be ours, enable us to have them. We're changed. We're changed. This is it. Transformed by beholding Him. Beholding Him. Paul wrote, blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who hath blessed us with all spiritual blessings in heavenly places in Christ. Beholding, we're changed. It's just that part of it we can do, right? You know, when I got saved, Len, listen, I had a lot of baggage. And I remember, I wonder how God's going to deal with this, this, and this, man, because my desire hadn't changed all that much. I mean, I didn't want to be saved. But all I have to do is keep looking. I kept going to church and hearing preaching. I went Sunday morning, Sunday night, Wednesday night, went to Sunday school. And kept hearing the word, and I read the word. I forced myself sometimes. I wasn't always hungry for it, but I said, I need to read the word. And I read the word of God, and guess what? Slowly, man, God started transforming my mind. He started changing me, started transforming everything into His image. That's how it works. That's exactly how it works. We're all changed. That's the power of the word of God. We have to be. We have to behold Him to be saved. We have to behold Him to be changed. You know, my question to you today as I close is, you know, have you beheld Him? Have you seen Him, seen Christ, got your eyes on Him and called on Him for that power, that transformed life that He gives us, everyone? You must be born again, He told Nicodemus. You must be born again. Amen?
Amen.
All right. Let's all stand with our heads bowed. Get Williams to come up. And he'll lead us. Heavenly Father, thank You for Your word. And I'm thanking for that. The Holy Spirit, Lord, that You change us. Thank You for the word we can look to and have our minds changed about many things in life, Lord. Transform us into Your image step by step. It's my prayer today, if someone here's never taken that first step, what a great day to be saved. It's a great day to be saved today. I pray you convict them, Lord. Draw them to Yourself and keep Satan away and his little minions that cause us to put things off in life. Lord, it causes us to think things that aren't true about our own self. Lord, so it's my prayer for someone lost today. They'll be saved in Jesus' name. Amen.